Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator.
Love is listening, observing, validating, and empathizing. So if you can do those four things, not necessarily in that order, but it's the way it works with the spelling of the word, that is love, right? So if you can listen to your partner when you hear what they're saying, if you can observe, notice how they're feeling, you can validate their feelings even if you don't agree with them, and if you can empathize with their feelings. Again, you don't have to agree with their feelings, but you can say, I can understand why you feel this way. Like, it makes sense that you feel this way.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So, how much do you know about your partner's sexual language or your own sexual language? Well, in this best of episode, sex educator, author, and licensed therapist Jamie Waxman is here to talk about core erotic blueprints, sexual accelerators and brakes, and the sixth love language, space and freedom. Jamie and I talk through the communication skills you need to help your sexual connection thrive. Because if resentment is the relationship killer, curiosity is the relationship healer. So in this show, you'll learn how to turn your communication style from critical to curious as you and your partner learn who you both are as erotic beings. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you all to do the same. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? How could this episode help you? My intention is to make curiosity a core value in your relationships. We talk about sex on this show, but in my opinion, curiosity doesn't just help us in bed, it helps us in life. So after this conversation with Jamie, you'll know how to ask anyone productive questions, the kind that lead to mutual understanding and maybe, just maybe, really hot sex. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, The Secret to Better Sex, talking about it, is up at sexwithemily.com. And check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. You want to ask me questions? Leave me your questions or message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily, or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show, and totally cool to change your name if you want to remain anonymous. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. As a sex educator turned sex therapist, Jamie Waxman is passionate about working with individuals and couples around relationship, gender, and sexual issues. She's also a speaker, filmmaker, and the author or co-author of several books, including Getting Off, A Woman's Guide to Masturbation, and a book we wrote together, Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. Find more Jamie on Twitter at J-A-M-Y-E, Instagram at SexTherapistMom, and at WaxmanSexTherapy.com. Well, let's talk about the couples who are not in crisis, but they actually have showed up and decided to work on themselves.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I love to give homework assignments. And so I will definitely start people off with just some quizzes and some other things that they may or may not have done. I know you've talked about this many times, the five love languages quiz. I love that quiz just to get people talking about how they give and receive love. And I like to add that sixth love language, which is space and freedom.
Oh.
Right? Because that is a real love language for many couples. And to acknowledge that in a time when you don't have a lot of space and freedom is really permission giving for any difficulties that are showing up in the relationship, if there are. And also it allows them people to think about how they can create space and freedom in a contained and confined way. I really think that that extra love language opens up a lot of eyes and doors for people in relationships. So we'll start with that. We'll also start with the core erotic blueprints. I like to just get people into what's their sexual language too, right? Whether it's sensual, kinky, sort of all over the place, sexual or energetic. And so I give people these quizzes to like have a starting off point to say, here's my love language and here's what I like sexually. Jaya did a great job with coming up with these sex languages to let people understand, right, where they fall. So from there, we have lots of ways we can go.
I love this, Jamie. The sex languages. Yeah, I know that she does those erotic blueprints. I think that is very interesting. I don't know. Can you give me an example, perhaps, of some of them? Because if couples have different sex languages, for example, somebody's more kinky and somebody's more energetic, for example.
Yes.
Can you, so, or whatever ones you want to explain.
I mean, those are two great ones because they are sometimes different and they are actually sometimes very similar. So somebody who's energetic is really going to be aroused by just could be breath, right? It could be being in the same room and really just getting close to their partner's skin. It doesn't necessarily even involve, it involves more of a sensual piece, but it doesn't necessarily involve sexual stuff, right? So people who are really into meditation may feel really energized by a partner who meditates with them. Again, these are just some examples. Yeah. Jaya speaks a lot about being energetic because that, I believe, is her core blueprint. And then somebody who's kinky is more into potentially like deprivation of a sense, right? Which in the energetic may actually limit some of what you're feeling or heighten senses in some ways that don't have to do necessarily with breath. So it's about maneuvering two different types of energy, two types of sexual energy together. So somebody who's energetic, who's into breathing with somebody who's kinky, and here's just one example, right? You may put a blindfold on them and focus on breathing. And just find a way to do things that work together. So I find that I feel like with the erotic blueprints that people have a general idea going in to what they are, but they don't necessarily have the language to talk about it. And Jaya, from what I remember from the time that I took this quiz, will send you videos showing you how to work within different couples. So it really gives you a toolbox to say, here's the language of what I identify with. And from here, let's look at the language of how you identify and let's see how we can find some common ground.
I love this. I think it's such a great to kind of cut through it because you're right. They might have a sense of what they are, but even in that way, they don't really know how to express it and what it even looks like in actuality. Like, you know, if I know that I'm energetic or I'm kinky, sometimes you just like, but what do we do? Like how right. What is the sex acts that follow? Like what are the manifestations of that?
How do we combine those two things?
Right. And so it's not a deal breaker. What we're also saying is if someone is very kinky and someone's a little bit more sensual, the relationship doesn't have to end. And if anything, it gives you a larger playground.
Right. It's about using your skills to enhance your partner's like experience, I will say. It gives you a lot larger of a playground as long as the other person's blueprint doesn't really like turn you off. If there's like a no deal and if you're not again, asking about what you mentioned before about change, if you're not open and receptive to change, then it doesn't really matter whether or not you are, you know, how compatible you are or where you're at. You have to be open and accepting to change. And
yes.
I love just this idea that it doesn't always have to be 50-50 in the sexual relationship. And a lot of times it's not, which I think causes resentments in some couples. But with these blueprints or just knowing your love language or whatever, knowing that sometimes you'll get your needs met more than the other person's and that it's okay, as long as it feels like there's a nice balance, I think that's also really important.
Yeah, it is the balance. And then having the language to even talk about it. Now, what do you do, Jamie, if you have a couple that comes in and they realize that a lot of their judgments around sex comes from a cultural upbringing? Maybe they were shamed. Because I get couples say, oh, my wife won't listen to this.
But they're projecting it onto their partner?
Yeah, they're projecting it onto their partner, or they don't even really want to talk about sex, but I'm not sure they'd show up in your office if they didn't even want to talk about it. But this is what I get so much. Like, oh, I told my partner I needed this, and they said no. You know, or they think it's wrong, or they won't masturbate. A lot of people call in and say, I can't get my wife to masturbate. So anyway, I guess it's unpacking the stuff that we feel not comfortable talking about sex, expressing ourselves. Are there like exercises you give couples to unpack that?
I mean, there's two things that show up for me. One is in the languaging, right? Which is the difference between you and I, and we'll go into that in a moment. And the other is the sexual shame narrative. And so what I will do in that situation, I may even work individually, even within the couple or for a few moments around this, but is I will say, tell me about your first sexual messages. What can you remember as your first sexual messaging? And then how was it received? Right? So for example, somebody could have been shamed for masturbating and getting caught, right? Oh, I had pleasure. It felt good, but I was told it was bad. I mean, you probably talk about this one a lot, right? Or I felt really good about how I was dressed, but I got in trouble in school because it wasn't appropriate. And so these confusing messages. So, or my religion told me you have to wait until marriage and I really didn't want to. And I felt, so whatever you will find a contradiction in some space in your sexual messaging, almost without doubt, almost undoubtedly. And I think you really start to unpack that contradiction. That works really well, especially if you're seeing it a lot in a couple's, like in couples work. I would definitely work with the person if they were open to it or who has the sexual shame message going first and then bring it back to really dissect. The other difference is what you mentioned about this example of a husband or a wife saying to their partner, you should masturbate, right?
And you this idea, you should, yeah, you should.
Or you shouldn't, and they or won't. You should, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
this idea that they're putting this back immediately when you say, you blank, you did this to me, you should do this, you whatever, you are immediately putting the other person in defense mode. The difference, like an example might be, I notice that because you don't masturbate, I feel less, I feel more confused about how to approach you for sex. I notice that because you masturbate all the time, I'm telling myself a story that you don't want me. Right? So it's not about you are doing this to me. It's what I'm noticing about myself. Or I notice that you masturbate a lot with porn and I feel shame that I don't look like that. Or I feel like I'm scared to get naked in front of you because I don't look like whatever it is. But it really has to be you owning whatever is going on for you and not projecting what's going on for you is your partner's problem. Even if there is a part of that that is your partner's problem, you have to first, and I think it works more effectively to actually take the stance of less defense and more curiosity. That's a word I use a lot with my couples. How can we get curious about this?
That is so good, Jamie. That is such helpful advice, you know, and I think we should all take a beat on that and think, like, what is the kind of conversation you want to have this weekend? And a lot of our instincts, our impulses are to be reactive, like, you never initiate sex anymore. You never tell me I'm beautiful. You never, nobody hears what you're saying after you. So to say, I notice that when this happens, it makes me feel this way, because no one can argue if you bring it back to your own feelings.
Right. They can't take that away from you. There's no
can't take that
there.
Away.
Right.
Jamie sees a lot of couples and, you know, for sex therapy, helping them with communication. And an interesting thing that she's reminded me of is that it really is such a great thing if you're a couple and things aren't, you're not in crisis. Like, you're not in crisis, but you're like, I want to continue to improve our relationship, communication, to go into therapy then. When things aren't horrible, but you just want to keep growing with each other. And so Jamie said you've been seeing some couples come to that as well. And there's some new ways you're having them talk about desire and their sex lives.
Yeah, and to really get curious about what it is that they like about what they're doing and what they wish they could be doing. Because, I mean, I've said this since my days as a sex educator in my early 20s, that everything else about our lives, right? Like our hairstyle, where we live, what job we have, all of that we have permission to change. But something happens when we get into a monogamous relationship where the sexual piece doesn't feel like it gets that same attention and permission. And I think it's really important to revisit our sexual relationships with ourselves and with our partners on a fairly regular basis. That might mean a few years, that might mean a year, right? Like it, whatever that means to you, that part you get to decide. Another thing I really like to do with couples is to talk to them about, this came out from research from the Kinsey Institute. Actually, more importantly, it's in Emily Nagoski's book. She based it off some research, I believe, Come As You Are.
And great book.
It's such a great book. And it's all about accelerators and brakes. Your accelerators are things that get you going, right, and turn you on. And your brakes are things that turn you off. And I'll have couples sit and talk about some accelerators. And it's really interesting because them just saying things out loud, like, you know, I really like when you tell me what you like. And then realizing I actually have a really hard time doing that. So it brings attention to some things that maybe need to be highlighted, or a break, like when you take your hand and put it on my head and like expect a blowjob, that's a turnoff, right? So just really be able to talk about these things in a non-sexual setting, in a very safe setting, because here you have a witness to it all. So you're going to stay civil for the most part. I will say that not all couples therapy stays civil at all, but you're going to stay civil and you're going to be able to have the conversation without feeling like you're being rejected or criticized, because it's more about being, again, curious. That's
Jamie,
really
this
big.
Is great. I love the accelerator and the brake. So couples can sit with you and say, this is what really turns me on and this is what turns me off. And what's so interesting about that example is that you were saying that for one of them, when you tell me what you want,
it's
the accelerator. But the brake, the other partner say like, that's a brake for me because I don't know what to say when you ask me what turns me on. Don't go anywhere. After the break, Jamie and I are answering your questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. This is fascinating, Jamie. I want to keep going with that, but we have a call and I feel like Justin really needs our help right now. And I think we should help Justin. Justin 30 in Pennsylvania. Hey, Justin, how can we help you? What's going on? You're on with Emily and Jamie Waxman.
Hi. For several years, I've noticed over time and whatnot that I have a really hard time actually like expressing my actual emotions as they are. If it's anything other than joy, it usually comes out as either anger or I just kind of go numb and kind of shut down. And whenever it comes out as anger, it never ends well, and it I feel like my point never gets across, and whoever it's with, they're obviously going to shut down on me because I get upset about it. And I mean, I've recently just had a small thing to where I was able to actually express how I was feeling with my wife, and it felt good, but I don't understand how I came about to actually being able to express the emotion properly, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Justin, thank you so much for this. Is just, I think that it's really common that so many people, especially men, were not raised in environments where it was okay or it was safe to express your emotions. And so your question is, you said that you were able to successfully do it and you want to be able to tap into that and know why you were able to do it. Is that your question?
Yeah. I don't know if like you might, either of y'all might have some kind of insight on, I don't know, certain methods or something that I'd be able to try and focus on or angle towards to try and get myself to properly express how I'm feeling without it coming out as anger, because it never ends well.
No, it doesn't. Justin, I love how self-aware you are. And I love that you're asking this question. I'll let Jamie, what do you think? Where would you start?
A couple of things. First of all, Justin, I mean, to just be aware that if it's not joy, it's anger. Anger is probably the easiest emotion to express. And it is the tip of the iceberg of emotions. And there's so much that goes underneath, whether it's sadness or not, or guilt or shame. So just to notice that anger is the easiest emotion. You're not alone in that. I will say two things. One is, I'm going to give you a formula to talk to your wife and anybody else that will be helpful if you can follow it. Yeah. Love is listening, observing, validating, and empathizing. So if you can do those four things, not necessarily in that order, but it's the way it works with the spelling of the word, that is love, right? So if you can listen to your partner when you hear what they're saying, if you can observe, notice how they're feeling, you can validate their feelings, even if you don't agree with them. And if you can empathize with their feelings, again, you don't have to agree with their feelings, but you can say, I can understand why you feel this way. Like, it makes sense that you feel this way. But yes, that being said, you're asking for a formula, and so I'm going to give you one. It's a formula for non-confrontational exchange, and it starts with an observation. And I was actually doing this a little bit when I was talking about how to talk to your partner without being defensive. So it's an observation. I notice that I'm starting to have a similar reaction to when we had this conversation before. Then the second part is observation, feeling. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling frustrated. That's a lot, like under anger, frustration comes a lot, or so does resentment. I'm feeling frustrated about whatever. Or I notice that when you ask me to take out the garbage, this is clearly, probably not what your conversation was about. I feel frustrated. Then it goes need request. So the formula is observation, feeling, need request. So I need to tell you this, so that we can start to work on changing this. So that's the need. The need is whatever you need to, I need to share this to sort of start doing things differently. So here's my ask. I'm going to ask that you take out the garbage tonight or every other week. Or I'm going to ask that we, whatever again the ask is. But that formula really works if you can stick with it and use your I statements. Observation, I notice, feeling, I feel, need, I need, request, I ask. Whatever word you want to use there, ask isn't the right word, but that's the formula.
Okay.
Is that helpful? Justin, do you want to role play it with us? Is there anything, a conversation that you've been wanting to have that we can help you have it here on the air?
No, it felt so good to actually kind of be able to open up. Like, I've been married with my wife coming up on 10 years now. And I mean, we have open conversation about sex. I mean, we're explorative and we don't really keep anything from each other. I know she said to me before that she has wished that I'd be able to express myself better. And then to actually, I guess I saw joy in me being able to express my issue properly with her. That kind of gave me the drive. And then you ladies talking about the topic that y'all are right now, kind of urged me to call in. I want to be able to
Justin, there's one more thing that's showing up as you're talking.
Yeah. No, Justin, I'm so glad you called in. This is really brave and it's so helpful. And I just, I love how you are really looking at this in such a healthy way that you want to be show up in this way. What were you going to say, James?
Well, I was just going to say, even hearing how Justin's talking now about being able, the appreciation he had for being able to express himself and for his wife being able to hold space and to get it, and that he really felt close to her. That's another thing that's not a formula, but it's called sharing an appreciation. And I think couples should be doing this as often as they can. I will admit that I sometimes resist it in my own relationship, so it's, there's no perfect, right? But you share an appreciation with your partner. So even right there, Justin, I just wanted to tell you that I really appreciated that the other day I was able to share something with you in a way that you heard it. And it felt, it brought me so much joy.
Okay.
That would be a great thing to say. I agree. Reinforcing it and letting her know how this has really impacted you and that you'd love, that you look forward to continuing on this path and of expressing and being emotive and sharing your authentic feelings. Because you probably, it sounds like you've had, and this is common, you've had a life that wasn't really encouraging towards you being emotionally real and honest. You know, it could be something in your childhood, you didn't feel safe. But just know that it's a practice. And you just took one step on this incredible journey and you're 30 years old and it sounds like you and your wife are really in a good place where you can just grow together. I think just go easy on yourself because it's a path, right? For 30 years, you haven't done it. And so it's a muscle. We got to keep using it.
Yeah. I've been listening to your show and it's made me think a lot about things. And I have think that that might have been how I might have, I don't know, accidentally been able to open up because something subconsciously just happened.
Justin.
I just want to say thank you all for being there for me. And
I'm totally here for you, Justin. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you found the show and you found it useful. And I can't wait to hear about your journey, Justin. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
What a beautiful compliment to you, Emily.
Yeah. Yeah. Feels good to know that people are, that we're all in this together. We're all listening. We're helping each other when everyone's calling in about what they've learned. And we don't hear people talking about this much, right? I mean, I had to personally learn how to express my emotions. I didn't grow up in a place where they were validated or accepted or encouraged.
It was, people, stop crying. Why are you acting this way? Don't do that.
Yeah, stop crying. It's not real. You know, all the things that we talk about. So, and I still practice. Oh, Jamie, lots to unpack here. So we were talking about the accelerator and the brakes.
I know I did the acronym. Now that I will not forget. I will forget because I actually forgot the last time I tried to explain this to someone. Did we talk about the other piece that I really think is a great check-in, which is win and wonder?
Let's do that.
Yeah. So another tool for couples to get curious, that is the theme of my segments, to get curious, is to really once a week to have a check-in about, or you could do it even daily, but a check-in about a win from the day. And I say once a week because usually in that time you'll have some sort of couples exchange or time together where you, something about that time was a real win. Like maybe it's just like that we put our phones away and locked them up for the night, right? That's a huge win. Or maybe that's the wonder because we were really distracted all week. And so I wonder what it would be like to put our phones away for a night. So it's really spending time talking about that win and that wonder and each of you coming up with one win and one wonder from your relationship in that week.
That is such a great tool. Like we've been talking lately about this, about relationship check-ins, that it would be such a wonderful practice for couples to have once a week or even once a month. We've been talking about different tools, but I love this one. It's like, how have I shown up for you last week? That felt great. What you need for me in the coming week? But I love a win and a wonder. So what are some other examples that couples could say is our win and then a wonder? I'd love to kind of inspire people going into the weekend.
I mean, a win can also be like that we actually had an hour to have sex, right? It could be about a time thing. It could be quality time. It could be physical touch, or that we had a date in the park, like anything, like doing something that feels like it was just really connecting is a win. And then a wonder is something that maybe didn't happen or maybe went a little sideways, right? Like we tried this new position and it was too painful for me. So I wonder what it would be like to actually do it from the side instead of from, behind. Or again, that's just one example, but I wonder because we didn't get out of the house this week, I wonder what we could have, like, if we could go to a park next week or where we can go to spend some time outside of here. I wonder if we could take a walk, anything like that.
Is it something that we focus around an us? It's not a you. Like, I wonder why you didn't initiate sex again. Like, I could see it going down a more negative, critical path.
Absolutely.
So is it more, it's
so
a we?
I think it's something, it's a focus on us for sure, because if it will go down. I wonder why you didn't do this thing is right. It goes right into criticism. So that would be more of an, I notice that you haven't been interested in initiating sex in the last few weeks. And you might not even say I'm feeling, and I miss you. And I wonder if there's something I could do that would make you want to initiate sex more. You could do it in that way, mm-hmm. but you would have to change it around to being about I. I wonder what I need to do to make this more, to happen more. Otherwise, it's an us. But if it's a you, that person is going to be like, well, you know what? You don't do too, or you. So it really can go down an ugly road quickly.
God, it's so true. What do they say? Everything after but is...
negated. Everything before.
Everything before but.
Before the but is, like, right. I love you, but you didn't do the dishes. All you hear is you didn't do the dishes.
Right.
Anything so before but is erased.
Right. Is erased. And then everything when you say you is also, I'm just trying to think, put you on the defensive. I think that we are giving so many incredible tools tonight for people to kind of take home with them, because
nobody will ever need to call.
Exactly. You know, hey, if I'm out of work because the world is communicating better and everyone's having incredible sex and everyone figured out their relationship problems, my work is done.
Yeah, exactly.
What would I do? I don't know what I would do. What would I do? I have no friggin' idea what I would do, but that's what I hope for the world. But you know what I also love about you being here, Jamie, is that there is a lot of recommending that people seek therapy, whether it's a couple or an individual. And I have a sense that people, if they've never gone to therapy or they just have an idea about therapy, that it still has a stigma. Maybe in their mind, they think it makes them crazy, or it'll be like, it's only for mental people. Because to me, it's like, well, why wouldn't you go? If you have a toothache, you're going to go to the dentist. If your car breaks down, you're going to take it to a mechanic. If you're not able to communicate with your partner anymore and you've been trying, you would go to therapy. Because I tell couples all the time, if you've been having the same argument for a year or 10, clearly you're not going to be able to do it on your own. So I just don't know, Jamie, how you get then people when they say, oh, but my partner won't go. What can we do to get people to realize like this is going to be the ticket? It's actually going to help wherever you're at. Rather either realize that you can never solve this conflict and you should end the relationship, or, oh, you learn new tools to move forward and grow stronger.
And so I think even in that, right, it's the focus is on something's broken. So we're going to therapy to fix it. Where I think when the focus is on improving what we are already, our foundation is solid. So let's improve on it. Or our foundation is solid. And there are some places where I feel like we could just be even better, right? There's just that difference in the reframe. Again, it's not going to convince everybody to go to therapy, but I do think it's helpful to not, like with the appreciations and everything, it's so much easier for us to focus on what we're not getting, what our partner's not doing. The more we focus on what they are doing and what we are getting, the more you're going to get a positive response. One last thing about that but.
Yeah.
If you change that but to an and, it's different. I love you and could you take out the garbage, right? Like I love you and whatever it is, it changes how we hear what is being said.
It's true. But is really a trigger word. I try to stop myself from saying
and
that
should.
As well.
Should is another trigger word.
Don't should all over yourself. Should is
exactly.
We should on ourselves and others. You should yes. do this. You should do that.
Yeah.
And then you reframe that by saying,
you should go to therapy. You can say, I noticed therapy has been really helpful for me. I'm curious what your thoughts about therapy are, right? Like, again, that might be a little bit more where people say, oh, that feels like you're kind of manipulative or whatever. But you could say, I know therapy helped me. Would you consider it?
Right. Not you should. I mean,
right.
These are great reminders.
Any of it.
Oh, so good. We have a call here from Leslie, 52 in South Carolina. Hi, Leslie. Thanks for calling. You're on with Emily and JB Waxman. How can we help?
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a question. My husband, whenever anything provocative is on TV, he will not even look at it. And I've noticed his late teens, early 20s children are doing the same thing. How would you, or what would you suggest I do when I notice something like that?
So meaning like something sexy comes out, or something like a couple's making out and then they just go, oh, gross, or they kind of make a comment about it. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
How could we help Leslie here, Jamie? I mean,
you've noticed it a number of times. I don't know if you feel comfortable, again, getting curious with your husband outside of when it's happening, because if you point it out and there are other people around when it's happening, he may go into shame, which will bring him into a defense. But I would actually just say, I notice that anytime there's something like provocative on TV, you shut it off. And I'm curious, what's happening? Like, what goes on for you? And then I don't know if the other piece of like that you want to show them that it's okay to be sexual or it's okay to have sexual feelings, if that is sort of in the same context. I don't know how much they know about sex, because there's lots of great information out there. And there's like Scarlet Teen is one of the best websites for really introducing people to sexual information at a teenage age.
How old are the kids, Leslie?
Probably one is 21 and one is 17.
Okay. Yeah. I think talking to him about what that's about and probably pointing it out. And then maybe if, you know, I think also talking to the kids about, you know, a healthy expression of sexuality and that it's okay. And maybe if you're all together again, you could bring it up and say, you know, your dad and I had a talk about this, but we decided that it was just a pattern. He probably doesn't realize that he's been doing it their whole lives. So I think you could really be an asset if they're open. Yes, Jamie?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and sharing with your husband about how it makes you feel when you see what he's doing, right? Because there's a part of you that already knows, like, I think that showing healthy sex and sexual experiences is important. So really sharing why that's important from your perspective, not, again, from an I perspective, so important. But it's important to get your voice in there, too.
All right.
Okay.
Helpful.
Okay.
Does that make
sense,
Leslie?
So
okay, cool.
Yes.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yes,
keep us posted. I'd love to hear how this conversation goes down. Thank you for calling. I think that's great. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.